the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're on page 6, in the middle, basically. We continue with the three appeals, and therefore, the kingdom is ours. Take courage. So, Louisa wants us to know that it might seem, you know, we're nobody, we're nothing. We really are at the bottom of the barrel, you know, and if you've ever made wine, if you've ever made any fruit, everything at the bottom of the barrel is just mush, you know. And Jesus is saying to us through Louisa, be courageous. The kingdom of the divine will is ours. Take courage. The supreme fiat awaits us. The supreme fiat calls us. The supreme fiat presses us to take possession of the divine will. So who would be so bold? Who would be so perfidious as to not listen to its call, not accept so much divine happiness? Who would be the one that would not want to accept this divine happiness? And that's where a lot of people, especially religious, have said to me, well, I have my founder, I have my foundress, I have the saints that I want, and I don't need Louisa to be happy. And God says, okay. God says to us, you know, if this is what you want, then I have to give this to you. But those that want more, those that want to enter into this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, we say, I want this. I want to begin to live this abundant life. So only we must leave our miserable rags of our human will. We have to recognize that we're tired of going to confession. That's our human will. Our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. So we have to leave those miserable rags of our human will behind. The mourning garments of our slavery into which this has cast us. To clothe ourselves again as kings and queens, to adorn ourselves with divine ornaments. So Jesus tells Louisa that it's like he wants to give this gift and we're playing in the mud. And he says, my kingdom, I have food on the table. I have beautiful garments for you. Just let go of your human, use your free will to choose the divine will and watch what I will do. And this is the thing that's so beautiful. We must leave the miserable rags of our human will, the mourning garments of our slavery, into which a human will has cast us, to clothe ourselves again as kings and queens, to adorn ourselves with divine ornaments. Therefore, Louisa says, I appeal to everyone. I do not believe that you shall not want to listen to me. Did you know this? I, Louisa, am a tiny little child. I, Louisa, am the smallest of all creatures. And by locating myself in the divine will together with Jesus, I, Louisa, shall come as a little one onto your lap. I, Louisa, shall knock at the doors of your heart with moanings and tears to ask you as a little beggar for your rags, for your mourning garments, for your unhappy will. And I want to give it to Jesus in order that Jesus may burn everything and giving you anew his most holy will. Jesus, he wants to return you to his kingdom. Jesus wants to return you to his divine happiness. Jesus wants to return you to the whiteness of his royal garments. If you only knew what divine will means, if you only knew what the divine will of God means, this encloses heaven and earth. And if we are with the divine will, everything is ours. Everything lends from us. On the contrary, if we are not with the divine will, everything is against us. And if we have something, we are true robbers of our God, our Creator, and we sustain ourselves by means of fraud and rapine. Therefore, if you want to know the divine will, read the pages of the Book of Heaven. And in these pages, you will find the balsam for your wounds that your human will has cruelly inflicted on us. You will find the new air that's all divine, the life that's all celestial. You shall feel heaven in your souls. You shall see new horizons, new suns, and often you shall find Jesus with his countenance bathed in tears because Jesus wants to give you his will. Jesus cries because he wants to see you happy. And in seeing you unhappy, Jesus sobs. Jesus sighs. Jesus prays for the happiness of his children and asking you for your will to snatch from you your unhappiness. Jesus offers you his divine will as the confirmation of the gift of his kingdom. Therefore, I, Louisa, appeal to everyone. I, Louisa, make this appeal together with Jesus and with his own tears, with his ardent sighs, with his heart that burns, that wants to give you its fiat. From within the fiat, you have come forth. This is where we came from. We came from the womb of the Father. It has given us, and it has given us life, and just as it is our obligation and duty to return into the divine will, to return to our dear and interminable inheritance. So therefore, in the first place, now this is very important, the first one who will live the divine will fully will be the Holy Father. He has the keys to the kingdom. And Jesus tells the Holy Father that he will, the keys that he has in his hands, one of the keys is Louisa. And with Louisa, he's going to open up the kingdom. And then there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. So the first place, Louisa appeals to the highest hierarch, to the Roman pontiff, to his holiness, to the representative of the Holy Catholic Church, and therefore the representative of the kingdom of the divine will. And at his holy feet, Louisa, this little child, tiny child, places this kingdom so that the Pope dominate it, that the Pope will make it known. And with the Pope's paternal and authoritative voice, he will call his sons, his priests, his bishops, to live in this kingdom so holy. So the very first place that Jesus wants to go to, next to Louisa, is the pontiff. And this is why when we met Cardinal Ratzinger and he became the Pope, we really believe that a new beginning was given to the Church. And don't worry about what you might think is happening. Don't worry about what you might hear. Know that God is in charge and the gates of hell will not prevail against his Church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against his Church. What does that mean? That means it's a full frontal attack. The devil is going to come at the Church with all his weapons, with all his deceit, with all his lies. Don't worry. God wins. He's going to prove to the devil that the devil cannot do this. He cannot destroy what God has given. He tried to destroy this universal life that was given to Adam, and he failed. Jesus came, the new Adam. Mary came, the new Eve, redeemed mankind, Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ, and now sanctification is coming. The devil cannot destroy the Church. So with faith in Christ, with faith in what he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his Church. With confidence in God, this is what Jesus says for us to know. May the Son, through Louisa, may the Son of the Supreme Fiat invest the Holy Father. May the Son of the Supreme Fiat form the first Son of the Divine Will in its representative on earth, the Holy Father, and forming its primary life in the Pope, who is the head of all. It shall spread its interminable rays in all the world and eclipsing everyone with its divine light. It shall form one flock, one shepherd, one church. Wait till you read what Jesus tells Louisa in volume 24, the last chapter of volume 24. He says the Jews will be converted to being Catholic. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the Protestants, the Islam, everyone will become Catholic. Everyone's going to see this universal life. And everyone's going to say, I want to be a baptized Catholic. Wait till you see what's coming. There's nothing to worry about. We rejoice with confidence in God. We rejoice in this triumph that God is going to bring upon the earth. So Louisa says, now in the second appeal, I make to all priests. So the divine will is going to come to the world through the priesthood. It's not going to be Protestantized. It's not going to be given by the laity. It has to be given by the priest. This is what Jesus says. Prostrate at the feet of each priest, I, Louisa, pray. I implore each of the priests to interest themselves in knowing the divine will. Take for your first movement, your first act from the divine will. So she's saying to the priests, get to know the divine will. Take your first act from the divine will. Then she says, rather, enclose yourself in the fiat. You shall feel how sweet and dear is this life of the divine will. Draw from the divine will all your workings. You, priest, will feel a divine strength in you. You, priest, will feel a voice that always speaks to you. And what this voice shall say, it will say admirable things to you that you, as priest, have never heard before. It's Jesus speaking to them. You shall feel a divine light that shall eclipse every one of your evils, and eclipsing the people's evils, and then shall give you the dominion over them. You will really become priest. You will become father of your parish. How many labors do you do as priest without fruit? Why? Because the life of my divine will is lacking. Therefore, in eating this first bread, you will the people, in eating this bread that you priests are teaching, the people have found it hard, almost indigestible, and not filling the life, the divine life, in themselves, they do not submit to your teachings. Therefore, when you eat this first bread of the divine will, the fiat, you shall have sufficient bread to give to the peoples. You shall form with all one single life, one single will. The parish will become what God wants it to be. The Catholic parish will become what it's supposed to be. And again, great things are coming. Jesus says unheard of prodigies are going to be happening. The third appeal I make to everyone, to the entire world. For you are all my brothers and sisters, my children. Do you understand why I am calling everyone? Because I, Louisa, want to give to everyone the life of the divine will. This is more than the air that we all breathe. It is the sun from which we can receive the good of the light. It is the palpitation of the heart that wants to beat in everyone. And as a little child, as a little baby, I yearn for you to take the life of the fiat. Oh, if you knew how many goods you would receive, you would consume your life to make your life reign, the divine will reign in all of you. This little tiny one, Louisa, wants to tell you another secret that Jesus has confided to her. I tell you it so that you give me your human will, and in exchange you shall receive that of God which shall make you happy in soul and in body. So she's saying, if you read the Book of Heaven, if you listen to what Jesus taught Louisa, if you really want what God wants, you're going to become happy again in soul and in body. This is what God promises. This is what God wants. Do you want to know why the earth does not produce? Why in various points of the earth the ground opens frequently with earthquakes and buries in its bosom cities and persons? Why the wind and the water form storms that devastate all? And so many other evils that you all know? It is because created things possess a divine will that dominates them. And therefore, created things are powerful and dominating. They are more noble than we. See, we're supposed to be the lords of the earth. We, on the contrary, are dominated by a human will and degraded. And therefore, we are weak and we are impotent. If for our fortune we shall put aside our human will and shall take the life of the divine will, we too shall be again be strong and dominating. We too shall be brothers with all things created. St. Francis showed us this, Brother Sun, Sister Moon. When you read the Canticle of David, Canticle of Daniel, it's sun and moon, praise the Lord. Nights and days, bless the Lord. We're supposed to be part of all that is in existence. We shall be brothers with all created things, which shall not only no longer trouble us, but shall give us the dominion over them. And we shall be happy in time and in eternity. Are you not content? Therefore, hurry. Listen to this poor little one who loves you so very much. Then I shall be content when I shall be able to say to all my brothers and sisters, you are all kings and queens again, because all possess the life of the divine will. You see what's coming? A new beginning is coming. A new beginning is happening. And Jesus is asking us, just one second here. Jesus is asking us to begin to live this abundant life. He really has this planned, and he needs us to cooperate. He needs us to begin to live this abundant life. Okay, hold on one second. Sorry about that. Again, all my brothers and sisters will again become kings and queens. We're going to be clothed in divine royalty. Why? Because you're going to possess the life of the divine will that God wanted Adam to have from the beginning. Therefore, take courage. Everyone, respond to my appeal. And I, Louisa, yearn much the more for all of you to respond to me in chorus to the appeal, because it is not I alone who call you, who pray you. But united to me is my sweet Jesus and my blessed mother, who calls you with a tender and moving voice, and many times even crying. Jesus and Mary says to you, take for you my life, my divine will, and come into its kingdom. Do you see what's coming? It's more than being good and holy and saintly. It's to share in divinity. It's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. You have to understand what's coming. God saved the best for last. Now, when you think of how can God do this, why didn't he give it to us in the beginning? Let's look at the men of the Old Testament, the women of the Old Testament. None of them were ontologically changed through baptism. None of them received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in Holy Eucharist. None of them received the 12 gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. None of them. Why? It wasn't time. Jesus had to come to earth. Jesus had to start the universal life again. Jesus had to form his apostles. And then what do we have? We have the sacraments and sacramentals. We are ontologically changed at baptism. And now Jesus says, now is the time of sanctification. Now is a new beginning for mankind. Don't be afraid of what's coming. The only one that's afraid is the devil. His kingdom is coming to an end. The kingdom of God is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. The 2,000 years of praying the Our Father is going to be fulfilled soon. Soon. For some of us, sooner than we expect. Those that will die first are going to experience the kingdom. So it's coming soon, whether we live to be 100 years or not, whether we live to see this or not, it's coming very, very soon. You have to understand this. So Jesus says that. Jesus says this through Louisa. Sorry. Take for you your life, my divine will. Come into its kingdom. Furthermore, you must know that the first to pray the Our Father, that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, was our Lord Jesus in the Our Father. And in transmitting his prayer to us, Jesus appealed and prayed to everyone to ask, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The love of Jesus is such, for he wants to give you his kingdom, his fiat, that every time you recite the Our Father, Jesus runs to say it together with you. It is my Father, it is I who ask you for it, for my sons, hurry. Therefore, the first to pray the Our Father is Jesus himself. And then when you also say, ask for in the Our Father, therefore do you not want to have such a good? Jesus says, as soon as I find the souls who want the divine will more than anything, I will give it to the world. That's a promise of Jesus. What's coming is a new, you have to understand, as you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, little by little, and that's our great hope, little by little we begin to live this until finally the Pope receives it. And when the Pope receives it, we all receive it. He opens the doors of the kingdom. He has the keys. It's going to be glorious. Wait till you see. Don't you want such a great good? Now I say to you one last word. You must know. Okay, so Luis is telling us that we have to understand this. That the yearnings, the sighs, the anxieties of Luisa, this little child, to see you all in the kingdom of the divine will, to see you all happy, to make Jesus smile, are such in seeing the yearnings, the deliriums of Jesus, who wants to give you his kingdom, who wants to give you his fiat, that if she is not successful through her prayers, with her tears, that she wants to succeed in the caprices, both with Jesus as well as with you. Therefore, everyone listen to this little tiny one. Do not make her sigh anymore. Please tell me, so be it, so be it. We all want the kingdom of the divine will. And that's what we pray every day. So be it, so be it. May we all live in the divine will. So we'll end there. Now, one of the things, is there any questions? I usually don't take questions, but we're early, so we can. Any questions? Nobody? No questions? Oh, you guys are good. This is great.
No, hang on a second, please.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, hey. Look.
Thank you, Father. What would be a good way to go about bringing this to our Protestant brothers and sisters? Is there a way to go about it? Is it too Catholic to even approach them with it?
Well,
just your take on that.
The how do you bring this to the Protestants? I don't think that at this point Jesus talks about the Blessed Mother. Most Protestants like to call Mary the woman. Jesus talks about the Eucharist. Most Protestants don't want the Eucharist. Jesus talks about the Pope. Most Protestants don't like the Pope. So the three blesseds, the blessed are you, Mary, among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. That's the Holy Eucharist. And blessed are you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Those are the three that the Protestants have protested against. So when they read this, they're going to go, well, I don't believe that. When they read this, they're going to say, well, I don't believe in Mary as Theotokos, the Mother of God. I don't believe in the Holy Eucharist, that is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And I don't believe in Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. So when they get to this point, I try to find people who are really Catholic, who love the Holy Mass, attend Mass as often as they can, those that pray the rosary, those that wear the scapular, those that spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. See, John Paul II asked that every parish have Eucharistic adoration. That was in the 80s. And we have very, very few parishes that have Eucharistic adoration. What God has done for us, which is great, is if you go to savior.org, you can have Jesus in your home through the computer. Every day, you can spend an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament if you don't have a parish nearby where you could go. Every day, you can spend an hour looking at Jesus, praying to Jesus, adoring Jesus, glorifying Jesus. And what happens is you fall more and more in love with our Eucharistic Lord. It would be nice if we were all together, but we're not. The to protest against the three blesseds are something that we hope and pray that we become unified someday. Thanks. All right. Well, God bless you, everybody. Have a great evening, and I hope and pray that you read the 36 volumes, you'll be enlightened to the point of being very, very happy. So let me give you a blessing with a relic of the true cross. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free you from your human will, that you live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.